Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. You know that feeling, right? That instant, almost primal urge when you meet someone new to kind of figure them out.
Oh, definitely.
You're not just looking, you're scanning, trying to decipher the puzzle of who they are, what makes them tick. Or maybe, you know, you're stuck trying to understand a colleague or even a family member.
Yeah, wishing you had some sort of key.
Exactly, like a secret key to their inner world.
It's such a universal thing, isn't it? We all crave that understanding. And, well, the face is usually our first stop for information.
But how do we get past those, you know, often misleading first impressions?
Yeah.
Or just our gut feelings? Is there something more reliable?
Well, that's the idea.
Right. And that's exactly what we're diving into today. The fascinating and sometimes misunderstood world of physiognomy.
Face reading, basically.
Yeah, the ancient art of face reading. But surprisingly practical, too.
Mm-hmm.
Our guide is Leyland Young's book, The Naked Face, The Essential Guide to Reading Faces. And our mission today is really to explore how our faces aren't just, well, faces. They're more like these incredibly rich maps.
Dynamic maps, even.
Yeah, dynamic maps of our character, personality, even our life experiences.
Yeah.
It's not about snap judgments. It's meant to be a shortcut to truly understanding people, and maybe ourselves, too.
Indeed. And Young really tackles that core challenge. How do we actually assess character and compatibility reliably without needing months of observation or falling for those, you know, tricky first impressions?
So she offers a system.
Exactly, a systematic approach.
Mm-hmm.
It promises more immediate, insightful understanding, taking this ancient art and making it, well, a contemporary skill.
Okay, let's talk about Leyland Young herself. Her background seems pretty unique. Journalist, author, researcher.
Mm.
But she spent, what, over three decades actually doing this?
Practicing and teaching it, yeah. She studied under traditional Chinese masters, so she's got that deep Eastern wisdom.
Right.
But then she blended it, carefully, with modern Western psychological insights. So she's kind of a bridge between these worlds.
So not just reporting, but interpreting, making it accessible.
Absolutely, and making it accessible without sort of dumbing it down. She really respects the depth of it.
And something you mentioned, her ethical approach.
Yeah.
That seems really important here.
Crucial. She stresses this constantly. It's not for judging or manipulating people.
Okay.
It's positioned as a tool for empathy, for connection. The aim isn't to stick labels on people, but to understand their drives, their patterns.
So you can connect better.
Exactly. Interact more effectively, more respectfully. That ethical core is really central to her whole philosophy in the book.
That's a key distinction. It takes it away from, you know, the realm of pseudoscience some might dismiss it as, and frames it as a kind of practical, compassionate psychology, which leads to her big idea, her thesis. The face doesn't lie.
Yeah, quite provocative.
She argues our faces are these systematic, readable windows into our character, revealing temperament, capabilities, emotional patterns, even life tendencies.
In a world where, let's face it, words can mislead and body language can be faked.
Right.
She argues the face is the most honest map we have.
And this book, The Naked Face, is basically her manual for reading that map.
You could say that. A comprehensive practical guide. She really wants to democratize this knowledge.
So not just for experts.
No, for anyone.
Yeah.
Curious beginners, professionals in therapy, management, sales. Even parenting, it's about offering a fresh lens on human nature, looking beyond the surface.
Okay, let's get into her framework, because this is where it starts to feel like a system. She grounds it in history, right? Ancient Chinese and Greek traditions.
Yeah, she acknowledges that lineage, gives it that intellectual weight. But then she introduces something really practical for a first assessment, dividing the face into three horizontal zones.
Like a quick overview.
Exactly. A high-level blueprint of where someone's dominant focus might lie.
Okay, so zone one.
The upper zone. That's the forehead. It represents the mental, the intellectual world.
Right.
How someone thinks, processes information, their imagination.
So a big forehead might mean, well, a dominant upper zone, maybe high, broad, suggests someone who, you know, lives in their mind. Driven by ideas, analysis, abstract thought.
Interesting. So if you're talking to them, maybe lead with the logic.
That might be a good strategy, yeah. Then you've got the middle zone from the eyebrows down to the base of the nose.
Okay.
This is the emotional, ambitious, practical realm. Ego, pride, managing daily life, drive for achievement.
So someone with, say, prominent cheekbones or a strong nose in this area.
might be really focused on ambition and achievement, very aware of their role in the world, how they come across.
Makes sense. And the third zone.
The lower zone. Base of the nose down to the chin. This is instinctual, physical, primal drive.
Like willpower, stamina.
Exactly. Willpower, stamina, sensuality too. A strong lower zone often points to someone grounded in physical reality. Maybe they're driven by tangible results or have a lot of determination or appreciate the material side of things.
So understanding these zones gives you a starting point for where someone's energy goes.
Precisely. It's like a quick start guide to their default settings, you could say.
And she's clear it's not just inherited, right? It's nature and nurture.
Absolutely. The bone structure is like the underlying blueprint, the inherited tendencies. But life experiences, emotions, those, right, the chapters on the skin, the lines, the expressions.
So it's always changing, evolving.
It's dynamic, a living biography, not just a static map.
Okay, so let's get into some specific features.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping in mind her big warning, no single feature tells the whole story.
Crucial point. It's the combination, the whole picture.
Right. Let's start with the eyes, mirrors of the soul. She finds these the most revealing. We know large open eyes often mean expressiveness, curiosity.
Mm-hmm. And Jung connects that to idealism, a broad perspective too.
And small, deep-set eyes.
Often indicate intensity, focus, maybe a bit more skeptical. These might be your specialists, people who really dive deep.
Okay.
But then she adds another layer, the distance between the eyes.
I remember reading this bit. Wide-set eyes.
Suggests broad-mindedness, tolerance, seeing the bigger picture. While close-set eyes often point to someone highly focused, detail-oriented, a specialist mindset, perhaps.
Again, not good or bad, just different processing styles.
Exactly. Understanding, not judging. That's key.
What about the mouth and lips gates of communication and sensation? We hear about full lips, meaning generosity.
Right, but Jung frames it more in terms of emotional expressiveness, a love for physical pleasures, and openness to experience. It's a general warmth and openness.
And thin lips, sometimes seen as cold.
Jung interprets them as suggesting someone more self-contained, precise, maybe more cautious with emotions or resources, potentially more critical.
So again, it's about adapting how you communicate.
Yeah. Someone with thinner lips might appreciate directness, precision, maybe less effusive chat. It helps you tailor your approach.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about being more effective in how we connect.
Yeah.
Okay. The chin and jaw foundation of willpower. A strong, square jaw that's the classic fighter, right?
Definitely signals willpower, tenacity. A deep well of determination, as Jung puts it. But a jutting chin adds another layer.
Oh.
Yeah, like defiance, extreme resolve, someone likely to push back hard against opposition.
Wow, and a receding chin.
Suggests less assertiveness. Maybe someone who avoids confrontation is more adaptable, more willing to compromise.
But again, you have to combine it, right? Like a strong jaw with warm eyes is different from a strong jaw with intense eyes.
Absolutely critical. Imagine that strong, square jaw with wide-set, curious eyes and full lips. That's determination, yes. But also open, tolerant, warm.
Right.
Now pair that same strong jaw with close-set, intense eyes and thin lips. Very different feel, right? Maybe formidable, focused, perhaps less compromising. The interplay changes everything.
Which brings us back to her biggest rule.
Yeah.
Never judge by one feature alone.
Never. The face is a conversation, she says, between all the parts.
You have to listen to the whole story.
Exactly. Synthesizing all the features, their balance, their contradictions, even that's where the real understanding comes from. That's the art of it.
That's where the depth is. And it's not just the fixed features either. She talks about lines and wrinkles. The biography in the lines.
Yeah, not just aging signs. They're a record of our most frequent emotions, our life experiences. Our reactions literally get etched onto our faces over time.
Like a living map of our emotional habits.
Precisely. Those horizontal forehead lines could be worry lines from deep thought or maybe anxiety. Vertical lines between the brows, often concentration lines from intense focus.
And crow's feet.
Could be joy lines from lots of smiling and laughter. Or, depending on the rest of the face, maybe signs of intense scrutiny, someone who looks closely at things.
It shows how faces reflect both our nature and nurture, constantly evolving. Which kind of raises a question, doesn't it? Understanding this helps us connect better over time.
I think it does. It encourages patience, seeing someone's journey, not just a snapshot.
Which connects to the key themes. Her ethical stance, compassionate understanding, not judgment, that feels huge.
It's paramount. The goal is empathy. Appreciating human diversity, not just slapping labels on people, it's about seeing clearly so you can respond wisely. Meet them where they are.
And it's practical for everyday life.
Mm.
not just some abstract theory.
Definitely. And it's not just about reading others either. Applying this to your own face, that can be really revealing.
Yeah. How so?
Well, understanding your own features might highlight your innate strengths, potential challenges, even how others might perceive you. It's a tool for self-awareness, understanding your own operating system.
So at the end of the day, it's about reclaiming this ancient wisdom and reframing it as a kind of practical, empathetic psychology for today, building bridges.
I think that sums it up well. Improving communication through nuanced observation.
Okay, let's talk real life uses, because this is where it gets really practical. In a professional setting, like hiring.
Yeah, obviously not the only factor, but an additional layer. A manager might look for signs of determination, that strong jaw maybe for a leadership role, or a rounded forehead suggesting creativity for an innovation role. It's about aligning natural inclinations with the job.
And in sales.
Oh.
Or negotiation.
Oh, incredibly useful there. That client with a broad intellectual forehead, maybe they need data, logic. The one with the strong lower face. They might want tangible results, security, a direct approach.
So you adapt your pitch.
Exactly. And noticing, say, thin lips maybe, that signals you need to probe gently for unspoken objections, address things before they become roadblocks. It's about communicating more effectively.
Makes sense. What about managing a team?
Understanding motivations, huge advantage. That person with the Roman nose suggesting leadership, maybe give them more responsibility, autonomy. The one with the upturned nose, maybe more optimistic, sociable. Perhaps they thrive on recognition, a supportive team vibe.
And she even applies it to personal relationships, parenting.
Yes. Imagine tailoring your parenting style. A child with a sloping forehead, maybe more kinesthetic. Learns by doing, needs less talk, more action.
Right.
A child with a square forehead might thrive on logic, structure, clear explanations. It's about meeting them where they are, not where you assume they should be.
There are some really memorable lines or ideas in the book.
Yeah.
One that stuck with me was something like, "The face is the most honest part of the body. It cannot lie about who we fundamentally are."
So it speaks to that core authenticity she believes is visible.
Yeah. And another one, reinforcing the main rule. Never judge a person by a single feature. The face is a conversation. True understanding comes from listening to the whole story.
That holistic view, again, so important.
And maybe the one that sums up the why. The goal of reading a face is not to confine a person to a label, but to find the best way to communicate. It's a key that unlocks greater empathy and more effective connection.
That really captures the spirit of it, doesn't it? The positive potential.
It does. So the ultimate value here, the big takeaway, maybe it's that we're all more readable than we think.
I think so. And that developing this kind of systematic observation really can improve relationships, social effectiveness, how we navigate the world.
It's a shift, isn't it? From just passively seeing faces to actively, thoughtfully reading them.
Yeah.
With curiosity, not judgment.
A paradigm shift, yeah. Cultivating curiosity.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Next time you look in the mirror, really look. What news stories do you see etched there beyond just your reflection? What might those lines, those features, be telling the world about your unique journey, your potential? What conversation is your face having?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accotra Foundation.